Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 72 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, aside from sharing that wonderful wrestling story that you can only hear if you go listen to the live show, how's your week been?
I had a great week. Thank you so much. We've had such weird weather here in Florida. Like today it was 80 degrees and we went to the beach. Highly recommend Canaveral National Seashore. If you want to see a real untouched Florida, like no commercialism, no development, just like raw nature, Canaveral National Seashore, less than an hour drive from Orlando. But it was 80 degrees when we were at the beach, and it's going to get down tomorrow night to 40 degrees.
Ooh. I don't
on my poor plants. I don't know.
We've fully transitioned to fake plants at this stage because we keep getting cold snaps here too.
Probably a lot easier. How was your week?
My week has just been kind of the same. We're still in the middle of COVID. Austin is in stage 5, so interacting outside of your bubble and dining out in public and stuff is not allowed, but not advised at this point.
I have no idea what stage we're in. Stage,
I think you guys are no stage.
Rainbow.
Yeah,
we're a rainbow.
So I've just been hanging out at home. I played through Rise of the Tomb Raider. I picked it up pretty cheap on the PlayStation Store, so I've been doing that. And just hanging out at home. I watched a movie yesterday. I forgot what it was.
It was so memorable.
And then WandaVision, of course, which I haven't stopped thinking about since I watched it on Friday night. But we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that one.
But we also have some news to talk about. So without any further ado, I almost clicked the goat. Let's get into the news. First up this week, if you have been missing Blizzard Beach, like I know you have, tickets are now available for its reopening on March 7th.
Yay! I'm sorry. I love Lagoon. I don't have a lot of emotional connection to Blizzard Beach, so I wish the other one was opening. But it is great news for people who are Disney fans and don't want to go to a non-Disney theme park like Aquatica.
I have only ever been to Blizzard Beach.
It's still got some great attractions. It's got a little too much white concrete for my tastes. I think the interesting thing about this is that unlike the dry theme parks, you are not going to need a park pass reservation. All you need is a ticket or a annual pass with valid water park admission. So that tells me, I guess, it's going to be early March, so probably not going to be a huge number of people other than all the bloggers who are going to be there on opening day. But I guess they will be able to close the doors and, you know, not let more people in, I guess, if they reach their maximum.
I'd be surprised if they reach it first week of March.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
As far as masks and things go, you are still required to wear your mask, especially if you've gotten the vaccine recently, both doses or the only dose, depending on which one you got, you still have to wear your mask at the parks.
Yeah.
Just an FYI.
Yeah, that's not just at the water park. Disney put out a statement kind of reemphasizing that they're not going to try to pick and choose who's got the vaccine, who doesn't. Everyone's still doing the masks. At the water park, they're going to enforce the mask usage at the entrance and exits and at dining and retail locations. But they are not going to allow masks in the actual water slides or pools because that would be waterboarding.
I was just going to say
against the Geneva Convention.
Waterboarding.
Yeah. We don't do that in this country anymore. We tried that for a while. We stopped. And we definitely don't do it with kids at Disney parks.
Have you ever done Summit Plummet before? I have to ask.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do it at once. Every time I go to Blizzard Beach, I will do it exactly once to say I did it.
Do it every time you go?
Once is plenty. Once is enough.
I've only ever done it once, and that was enough. I would say it was more pleasant than the drop slides at Volcano Bay, though, which did feel like I was getting waterboarded.
Water right up your nose with those capsule slides. Really,
I felt
just...
like I was. It was like I was drowning.
Yeah, you gotta pinch with one hand and cross with the other.
That's so complicated, and then it's hard to keep your legs crossed. It's a nightmare.
It's like patting your head and rubbing your belly while going 100 miles an hour.
Impossible. Yeah. Over at Universal, speaking of, Men in Black Alien Attack not only reached its 20th anniversary, but hit 100 million riders as a milestone, which is pretty major.
That's awesome. It is very well deserved. Mm-hmm. Still on my list of rides that I have to go on pretty much every time I go to Universal.
It's always a good time. And then I don't know if they do them as much these days, but I did get to do the tour of the
immigration
facilities.
Tour. Yeah. Yes. So a lot of people don't know about this. It's kind of a secret. It's a free VIP tour that they offer. Men in Black has one, and other attractions around the parks have them. They're currently suspended due to social distancing. But it could be coming back soon. Jimmy Fallon offers a similar studio tour, and they just brought that back recently. So ask around. The Mummy is another one, Reign of Kong. Ask an attendant at the front of the park if they're doing any tours on that particular day. And if you get lucky, you might be able to walk down into below the queue of Men in Black and hang out with the animatronics and get an up-close view of the Easter eggs on the desks down there. It's a really cool photo op.
Isn't there a book that you can sign one of these desks?
Yes, there is a logbook, and people sign in with their name and what planet they are from. And there's all sorts of there are pages from the scripts of the Men in Black movies on those desks. Oh. There are pages of old. What was that? Weekly World New. What was the? It was like a tabloid newspaper with Bat Boy. Weekly World News.
Something like that.
And other, like, you know, you can go and sit in the very uncomfortable plastic chairs. It's really a great experience, and I hope that they bring that tour back real soon.
I would love to see a Men in Black Alien Attack esque ride, but in Super Nintendo, and make it Luigi's Mansion with ghosts.
Well, yes. we'll have to wait and see how the first phase of the Nintendo Worlds go before we get into Luigi's Mansion. But in my personal opinion, this is still my favorite shooting dark ride.
Agreed.
Because, you know, it's not just screens. It's a big show scenes, big animatronics, and there's so much detail and so much to see. Plus, it plays really well. Like Buzz Lightyear with the guns stuck to the car, and you just sort of swivel them around. It's not a great gameplay. I think that Men in Black is a good ride and a good game.
Agreed. And that ending.
Oh yeah.
It's so fun. Over at Walt Disney World, to celebrate the release of Disney Pixar Soul and Black History Month coming up in February, Disney is adding some Soul-inspired offerings to Epcot and Disney Springs.
This is pretty exciting. Soul just killed me. We talked about it when it came out over the holidays. And, man, you know, every Pixar movie makes me cry, but that one really got me. And, you know, the American Adventure is a great attraction, but the lobby could use a little freshening up. I was afraid that this exhibit was going to replace the exhibit of Native American artifacts, which would just kind of reinforce the idea that we can only honor one non-white culture at a time here. But thankfully, what they're doing is they're taking out in the main lobby removing some of the paintings of concept art and background art. That it was very lovely, but it's been there for 20, 30 years, and most people don't pay any attention to it. And they're adding this exhibit that is going to include actual historical artifacts from famous jazz musicians. So that's pretty neat. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have.
Yeah, I want to know what they have. I can only imagine what kind of things that they've gotten a hold of. Over at Disney Springs, they will be having musical performances on select days and art displays from a collection that they did prior to Soul's release, working with Black artists and creatives. They released it for apparel. They were very abstract, but they featured the characters, and I suppose they'll just have them blown up and on display outside.
Nice. And also restaurants there at Disney Springs are going to have some special menus.
Yes. One of which being Amorette's. If you are looking for something sweet, they are going to have treats inspired by both Soul and Princess and the Frog. And I hope I'm not too naive in hoping that there's like a beignet something happening there.
Can't go wrong with a good beignet.
No, you can't. And if you're staying at a Disney Resort hotel in February, they will be showing films that celebrate Black culture throughout the month, Disney films, one of which is The Princess and the Frog. I don't know if they'll show Soul or not. You can check at your resort, but that is a free offering for those of you staying at a Disney hotel.
And I believe the Soul exhibit in the American Adventure will be around past the end of February.
Yes.
So if you're not going to make it this month, you'll still have a chance to check it out.
I definitely want to see it. Universal Orlando has announced its first ever military freedom pass, offering a year's worth of admission with no blockout dates.
This is an amazing, amazing deal. I mean,
yeah,
like,
it
this is. This is nearly half off. You know, I don't know if it includes parking. I was trying to dig and find the details. You kind of need to go to a military ticket and travel office in order to get one of these and have military ID. So you might, if you do and you know what that is, you might be able to get in contact and find a little more of the details. But even if it doesn't include parking, a no blockout ticket for less, you know, basically $200 for the year is crazy, and adding on Volcano Bay for another $35.
That's a highway robbery right there.
And you can buy this, I believe, for up to 6 members of your family too. So yes, if you are eligible for this, jump on this deal.
Yeah. The only way that you can get it is by going through your authorized military ticket and travel office. So if this applies to you and you are eligible for it, don't show up at Universal expecting to buy it at the gate, because you won't be able to.
Yeah.
Military members can also get up to 40% off of their hotel stay, as well as cool vacation package upgrades, like a Harry Potter themed vacation package. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Comes with a ton of freebies, a special keepsake box, breakfast and leaky cauldron and 3 broomsticks, Shutter Buttons photography session with the green screen so you can do some goofy family vacation photos. It sounds really fun. And the food is so good, it already makes it worth it, in my opinion.
I got to say, I'm generally not a huge fan of booking vacation packages that include things like photos and meals, because normally if you don't take advantage of every element, you're losing money.
That's
but
true.
These military vacation packages are so deeply discounted. Like this is cheaper than like Florida resident rates or annual pass holder discounts. So it's like, yeah, normally these packages are not a great deal, but this one is an exceedingly good deal.
Take advantage of it while you can.
Yep.
SeaWorld, for all you coaster fans out there, if you are a pass member to SeaWorld Orlando, you will have a chance to enjoy some exclusive ride time on February 16th.
This almost makes me want to get a SeaWorld annual pass.
Just for the ERT.
I have mixed feelings about going to SeaWorld based on my last few encounters, but if I could go at night with a lot less people there, that I would be interested in for sure.
And ride all your favorite coasters.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've gotten to ride Mako or Manta after dark, so that would be pretty cool.
I've only been on Manta once, but Mako is like every time I would go to SeaWorld, you have to hit it.
The only one I don't do is Kraken because the last time I lost an iPhone on that one.
Oh, no. gosh. The last time I rode that, I think, was the VR media event when they had Kraken VR.
Yeah. I was there for the media event, and I rode it, and my video was slightly out of sync.
Oh,
that was
not a
great experience.
So. I felt kind of nauseous afterwards, so I'm right there with you.
Not good.
If you plan on going to this is open to pass members at the Bronze, Silver, Gold, and Florida Platinum level, as well as any of the kiddos accompanying them that have a preschool card.
Unfortunately, it's not good with the Fun Card. Card is the buy a day, get the rest of the year free, and it's a great deal, but it might be worth upgrading to the annual pass if you want events like this.
Yeah. Keep in mind, if you plan on going to the park that day and staying past park close to do the event, you have to have a reservation to go to the park. But if you're just coming to the event, you're fine. So remember that if you're planning. And Rodney's here. Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for coming. This was interesting. I have some feelings. We all know a couple weeks ago, Disneyland announced that they were sunsetting their annual pass program. And this past week, they announced the Legacy Passholder Program, which I like to call the Participation Trophy of Disneyland. Because that's basically all it is.
This is basically their name for a program of discounts and special events and other excuses for them to milk their mailing list of annual pass holders.
Yep.
I think there might be a little confusion. We had someone comment down at the bottom of this this article that we posted about it, who apparently think that we are Disneyland
and really
respond directly to them. But they were asking when they would get their new legacy pass in the mail.
Oh, no.
This is a metaphorical pass that you're getting, folks. I do not believe, though it is a snazzy purple color, I don't believe you are going to get an actual physical card sent to you. Nor is there any way to join and become a legacy pass holder. This is exclusively for people who already had an annual pass that was active on the day that the parks shut down.
Yeah, I will say when this got announced, I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, maybe they'll have something cool for them, or they'll have a modified version of the membership program. And I read it, and it was like that the SpongeBob episode where it's the Krusty Krab training video, and they were like, sounds like a lot of hoopla, which is how I felt about this announcement, because it was like, keep your discounts, but...
You know, living in Orlando, I'm not doing a lot with my Disneyland discounts at the moment.
Yeah.
What this really is just a nail in the coffin that annual passes, pass holder, that whole phraseology, that term is done.
Yep.
So whatever system comes back in the future, the days of calling yourself a pass holder or certain annoying people, a pass we're going to have to come up with a new term of phrase. We're going to have to come up with a new jargon.
Well, if they're members, I'm sure someone will come up with something derogatory for that. But they did say that they will be adding more magic to this designation for former pass holders.
You really can't have less. So
yeah,
they have
no,
to add more.
It can't be any less. They can't take any more from you.
Except for that 30% discount, which will end on February 25th.
Yeah. And I guess your dignity, unless that's already gone. But we will be...
You're bitter about this one.
I just think it's like funny in like a tragic kind of way. And then I think about all of the Disneyland vloggers and usuals that go every day.
Yeah.
And how they're not going to be able to do that anymore.
No, a lot of people are going to become Knott's Berry Farm bloggers. That's my prediction.
Knott's is cool.
Knott's is awesome.
I haven't been, but I like it. I've ordered during quarantine, when it first started and they opened up their online shop, I ordered a big box of Boysenberry
rocks.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Nice.
And this just happened yesterday, all you M&M fans. The M&M store is now open at Disney Springs Westside.
Woo.
Oh, you've got some beef with M&M's?
I love M&M. I love me some M&M's, especially peanut M&M's.
Peanut
is the top of the food chain. The minis,
yeah.
The balance of chocolate to candy on the minis. I like a little more chocolate, a little less candy.
See, I think the minis are perfect, and then you can just like open
and you
the
just
tube
inhale them
and
you just,
inhale
you don't have to
all.
Chew.
Of, like...
You just open the back of your throat.
Yep, and just let them all slide down.
So let's tell folks a little bit about what is in this store.
The Central Florida Main M&M's, if you didn't know, used to be in the Florida Mall.
R.I.P. Florida Mall still exists, but it's getting sketchier by the day.
Ooh.
There was another shooting, I think, last night. It was in today's paper. Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. This new location offers more customization and interactive M&M dispenser stations where you can walk up and then hear all the M&Ms drop into your bag. They have a cool set of, I was watching someone's vlog, they have Disney-themed mixes of colors. There's like a Mickey mix and a mermaid mix, which I thought would be Ariel-themed, but it's just pastels.
Oh.
But you can get pictures printed onto M&Ms, phrases, all that kinds of things.
I think the thing that the internet was going crazy over was the ability to print Figment to an M&M.
Yes. this location does have some Disney iconography you can print on your M&Ms. So Figment, Spaceship Earth was one, I think. I'm sure they have a castle one.
I'm a little surprised that with the COVID that they're having the self-service dispensers, because a lot of places in the parks that had those are now... you have to go up to the employees and have them scoop for you.
I watched a video of someone getting custom ones printed, and they had a team member or M&M person kind of walk them through the process, but they didn't actually touch anything besides the big green button to make the M&Ms. So gotcha. I wonder.
It does look like a great store. I have not been inside myself, but from watching the videos and seeing the photos, it looks great. It just doesn't look radically different from what was at the Florida Mall before. I guess I was just a little let down because I've been to the one that they have in Las Vegas.
Same.
That has a 3D movie. That one feels more Disney World to me than this one does.
It is three stories. It's huge. Yeah, I got to do that last... Was that last year? Yeah. No, it was two... I don't even know. Time is meaningless. But
In the before days.
But it definitely had a lot to offer. And there was even like a NASCAR race car on the top floor.
Yeah, you can. I mean, that one in Vegas, you can spend a good, hour or so really exploring it. And this one's a nice store. But unless you're really dying to shop, I don't know how much time you could kill there.
I do know a gift card to this place would be dangerous. So I would just come home with a ton of candy. No merchandise, just candy. And then our last bit of news in the queue. The WandaVision in the room. there was a reason why I only got screeners of episodes 1 through 3 of WandaVision. And obviously, I didn't know what that reason was until Friday when I watched this.
All right, and if you have not watched yet, you better stick your
skedaddle
fingers in your ears. I don't know. Pull your earbuds out. This kind of blew the whole format wide open. Like the first three episodes kind of got us to expect falling into this pattern where you know, has a sitcom episode from a different era, and then we get little hints of what was going on for real. But this kind of just blew everything wide open, gave us a flashback, almost, to me, explained a little too much.
It was cool.
I feel like a lot of the mysteries have been taken away. We still have some mysteries left, obviously. The first thing that it answered in the opening scene, though, was what was it like to be unsnapped?
Oh, my God.
And that opening scene, that was really emotional. And I kind of feel like that was something that was missing from Endgame itself. We kind of heard about it and saw a little bit of the aftermath in Spider-Man Far From Home. But actually seeing what it was like when the blip was undone and the chaos and then also reintroducing Monica Rambeau from Captain Marvel, but a whole new version of her, which I really love her character. What did you think of the episode now that I've babbled for?
I thought it was great, and my only complaint was that it was 30 minutes long.
Exactly. All of these need to be like 40 minutes or 45 minutes. I feel like they're it's like they're edited really tightly, and I feel like I want a little more breathing room, you know.
Yeah,
a little
this time one to felt digest it. This one felt so breakneck, and like first we're here and then we're doing this thing, and then Jimmy Woo is back and he can do sleight of hand.
Yes, he finally learned his card trick. I love it.
I love that. I was like, because I love the Ant-Man movies. They're so much fun. But I love seeing that little callback, and like only the real ones would know that he's been practicing that since Ant-Man 2.
Yep.
Man, and then bringing back Kat Dennings' character from Thor, the first two films, was unexpected but awesome. I love her. I think she's so funny in everything.
One of the few characters from the Thor films that I've missed.
Right. And I feel like that's kind of just a setting the stage for Thor Love and Thunder and Lady Thor, Mighty Thor, I think is her name. But this episode kind of laid everything bare as far as the situation at hand with Wanda and Westview being a thing. And basically explained everything, but I feel like it's a red herring while still telling us the truth. Like, I feel like there is something worse on the horizon.
Well, exactly. I mean, the initial question that I had was, is this something that is being done to Wanda, or is something Wanda is doing to herself? And so the answer is that Wanda has created this world, and S.W.O.R.D. has just kind of set up a containment perimeter around it, but they're not responsible for it. The real question is then what happens next? And does it happen within the sitcom format? I know there's been hints that we're going to get an 80s episode and a 90s episode. So I'm curious to see if it goes back to that kind of sitcom format, or if it keeps jumping back and forth between this world and the real world like this episode did.
I also want to know how much of the reality breaks will get cut out of those episodes. Because we saw in this one, whole sections of WandaVision that we had been watching previously were just cut out because she, you know, she edited the broadcast. Yeah.
It's getting creepier. It was creepy enough when it was like she's trapped in this world, but now that you know that she's creating this world, and I think we've seen now that, you know, a part of her knows what's going on and what she's doing and seems to be kind of deliberately hiding. Hiding from the grief of losing Vision, that moment towards the end of the episode where she looks at Vision and for a moment sees him dead was just disgusting and
horrifying.
Disturbing. And that was rough.
Can I throw you a theory?
Okay.
I think she has reanimated his corpse. I think that dead body thing is real.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's going to be really ugly if when she finally snaps out of all this?
Because I was doing some reading, and apparently there was supposed to be an end tag, like a scene at the end of Endgame, where Wanda was going to go into S.W.O.R.D. to collect Vision's body.
Ooh.
And then I was like,
so what? This is basically an extended version of necrophilia. This is... See, we're getting into like Silence of the Lambs. If she starts wearing his skin, I'm checking out.
I just, man, if she's going through so much, and while it's very interesting and compelling and I'm loving it so far, I really don't want them to turn Wanda into like a big bad.
I hope not.
I really hope not.
You know, I hope she goes through some dark times, she hits bottom, and she comes back stronger.
Yeah, I think I am not a comics reader. I just research literally everything on Wikipedia after and the fandom wikis.
That's the same as being an expert, really.
Yeah.
No different.
But I feel like they're setting up her reality and her twisting of everything we know that is real and not real as the kind of catalyst for the multiverse.
Yeah, we've been told explicitly that this is going to tie in somehow with the new Doctor Strange film. And we've also gotten hints from the Spider-Man casting that multiverse is like the next big theme that's going to tie the Marvel universe together. And she's pretty much the most powerful character in this cinematic universe. Like, both in terms of physical strength and metaphysical strength. So if anyone could, you know, rip the universe apart, and it could be her.
It would definitely be her, and she's got enough anger and hurt in her to fuel that.
I'm starting to feel a little Dark Willow energy from season 6 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Josh compared this to Dark Phoenix in X-Men.
Another archetype, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see. Another thing that I noticed that is why I think Wanda controlling all of this is true, but also a red herring. When they were researching all of these people who had gone missing and were, you know, actors, for lack of a better term, in Wanda's reality, they named all of them as their real world personas, except for one. They did not mention Agnes, who Agnes really was. They just had her her thing pinned up on the board.
That's a detail I did not notice.
Because I've been waiting for them to address her because everyone thinks she's Agatha Harkness.
That would be too coincidental to not be true.
Yeah. So. And then she has a few quirks about her that I haven't quite figured out. She always wears a brooch, and it's either as a necklace or an actual brooch or a pin, and it has a scythe on it with witches or something to that. You never get a close enough look at it to see it, but she always wears it, and Agatha always wears a brooch as well, and Agnes talks about Ralph a lot, her unseen husband. It's like a sitcom archetype of the husband or wife that you never see and you always hear about them.
Right, right.
I wonder if that's Mephisto.
Well, these are all excellent questions.
I've been reading a lot.
you've been reading more than I have. Hopefully we'll have some more answers in the next episode.
Yeah, man.
And there's Corey in our chat.
Oh, thank you for the super chat, Corey.
Thank you, but I'm going to need more than $4.99 to shovel snow. I'm sorry.
Scranton.
I moved from New Jersey to Florida so that I would never have to shovel snow again. But I will give you moral support.
Yes, you can do this. And take breaks if you need it.
My brother's in Pennsylvania, and he says they're supposed to have 12 inches overnight.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think we'll see snow again. We got maybe a dusting a while back, and then that was it. But
If you have a snow day, but you're going to virtual school, what do you do?
See, I asked this question not too long ago. I was like, do kids get snow days still if they're doing virtual school at home? The answer is probably no, but that doesn't seem fair.
No. You need to just go out and sled or something.
Right? Call in that day. And for our main attraction this week, a surprise to be sure, but a welcome one. There are some story enhancements and updates coming to the Jungle Cruise at both Disneyland and Magic Kingdom.
Noticeably not Tokyo.
Yes.
Tokyo does not care. Hong Kong does not care.
Nope.
Nope. But these are some long overdue changes to the Jungle Cruise that are both going to add more story and jokes, but also, more importantly, address some of the insensitivity and try to make the ride a little more inclusive. Bring it up to kind of modern day standards.
Yes. Similar in vein to removing the auction scene in Pirates of the Caribbean and the overall re-theme of Splash Mountain coming. Yeah,
it's part of that diversity and initiative that is across the at least the American Disney parks.
Yes.
So we got to see a little video from the Imagineers and some concept art of two of the new show scenes. And these are not going to be the only ones, but these are two that they've released. And, you know, I think it's interesting. Some of these changes kind of already were made over the years at Walt Disney World, and not this is going to sort of catch Disneyland up a little bit with Disney World. For example, the Lost Safari. This is the famous scene that shows the hunters or the expeditionists climbing up a pole, and they've got a rhino at the bottom poking at them. version, and the version that is still at Disneyland was a Caucasian at the top of the pole, and all of the men below him were of color. And it's still like that at Disneyland, I believe. Well, that's what's going to be changed. The one at Disney World was changed not so many years ago to be a diverse ethnic mix of people climbing up the pole. But it looks like now we are going to have a woman added to the pole so that we can also have some gender equality in being gored in the butt by a rhino. Because that's really what we need, the equality in being stuck in the butt by a rhino.
Yep. And it seems that they're all going to be skippers now, or expeditionists with a skipper. And then their vessel is going to be found beached and taken over by chimpanzees.
It seems like they're giving the ride a little bit more of a through line. It was previously just a bunch of jokes related to each individual scene, but there's never been a story that goes through the entire attraction. And it seems like they're going to weave in a storyline about a lost expedition of jungle skippers that's going to tie some of the scenes together. Not sure how tightly that tie will be. but I'm excited to see a boat full of monkeys reenacting the Instagram famous moment when the Jungle Cruise boat sank with a load of passengers a year or two ago.
I thought that was so funny. When I was writing this up, I was like, they have to know that this is like poetic, right? Like, when that boat sank, they were like, dang it, we've been working on this. I also have to admit, the first thing I said when I saw this was, we're going to get animatronic chimpanzees.
I hope, it seems like a lot of new animatronics might be going in. I hope they are all up to the task of operating outdoors for many years to come. I'm curious which other scenes are going to be taken out or modified. I can pretty much bet that the headhunters dancing in a circle and throwing spears are going to be a thing of the past. And I also feel that Trader Sam might go through some changes too.
See, I thought I was in the minority because I, without getting too involved in the discussion, it always felt icky at certain parts riding Jungle Cruise. Like, I love it, but it definitely feels like, this was a ride that opened 50 years ago. And I always thought that Trader Sam, while he's beloved and they have a bar named after him and everything, it felt a little disrespectful. And Disneyland and Disney World have two different looking Trader Sams, by the way. And it felt weird, but I didn't know how far they would go in changing that because he is kind of like a staple.
They haven't made any official announcements regarding that, but I can't imagine that they're doing all this. And I don't know if they necessarily get rid of the character entirely, but I think he's due for a makeover, you know. I the one thing I hope and hope that they don't censor, I hope they don't censor the backside of water.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what kinds of new jokes we'll get
Oh,
as a result of these
I
scenes.
mean, I'm sure we will get you know, it's interesting because the current Jungle Cruise jokes, it's kind of like a process of Darwinian evolution for jokes. You know, when the ride has been around for this long, they've kind of been whittled down, and the skippers know after decades which get laughs and which don't. Now they're going to have Imagineering probably writing all new jokes for them, and I'm sure some of them will work and some of them won't. And it'll be interesting, you know, take multiple trips when this opens and seeing how different skippers handle the new material.
Yeah, and then they have a former skipper, Imagineer Kevin Lively, working on the project. So no doubt the heart and soul of it will be in there as far as the skips.
I'm
And
excited. I'm wondering if they will integrate more elements of Seas, the you know,
yes.
the kind of legendary Disney Adventures organization that kind of ties the Tokyo parks and Adventureland and all sorts of things together.
So cool. I sure hope so. Any new sea stuff, I'm all in for it because that lore is just chef's kiss. It's just so good. You dive into it and it's suddenly 3 in the morning and you're on your 10th wiki page deep.
One thing we will not see in D23, they made a statement confirming that there is nothing specific to the Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock and Emily Blunt. They said that there could be some tiny Easter eggs, but there's not going to be a rock animatronic. There's not going to be
See,
any major tie-ins to the movie.
when I saw this announcement that story enhancements were coming, my heart sank into my butt because I was like, oh God, they're gonna do it. They're gonna put Dwayne the Rock Johnson in Jungle Cruise. I like him. I think he's very funny. He was great in wrestling, but
Hey,
I
I think
don't
he'd make a great governor of California.
I just don't want him in my Jungle Cruise ride. I don't want a creepy animatronic of him. Please don't. I could totally see them taking whatever the MacGuffin is for ju the Jungle Cruise movie and throwing it in there somewhere.
I could see that. We'll have to wait and see how first wait and see the movie finally come out
Right?
and then see how it does.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to come out this summer in theaters, unless
Fingers
they.
crossed.
Fingers crossed. I mean, Raya is getting a simultaneous Disney Plus premiere access and theatrical release. So we'll see if that happens with Jungle Cruise as well.
I'd like to see it on a big screen. It looks like the kind of movie that, you know, it'd be nice to finally go back to a movie theater and see it on a big screen.
Right. I miss the movies. But that is everything from us
That was so
this
quick.
week. I know we are always
Blew through.
pulling in at a tight 45 minutes. And before we go, I have a few listener thank yous to share. In case you did not know, we have a 4-tier subscription service at Attractions Magazine. And if you pick the club or VIP tiers to join the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out here on the Attractions podcast during the live show. So without further ado, big thank yous to Jonathan Tan, Marilyn Seidler, and Patty Jordan Higgins. Thank you so, so much for your support. And if you are interested, you can check out the tiers as well as pick up our winter 2020/2021 issue at attractionsmagazine.com/store. Or if you have an e-reader or you're a I don't like paper physical things anymore person, we have a digital subscription option for you too that we just added. And if you could give us a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast listening thing of choice. Give us 5 stars. Say nice things.
10 stars.
Tell us 10 stars. 2 ratings, 10 stars, please. Because somehow the algorithm, if you do that, it will push our podcast to other theme park fans.
And then more people can enjoy us.
Yes. So if you would, that would be amazing. And before we go this week, we have a little surprise for you.
We do. We have amazing brand new book, The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando 2021, written by someone named Seth Kabursky.
I had never heard of him.
Anyway, so we've got 2 of these and we are giving them away. And Brittany, how can people enter to win a free copy of the book?
Yes. So this is a Twitter giveaway. You see this tweet right here. If you go to @attractions and look for the live now tweet showing a link to this episode, if you retweet it, you will get 1 entry. If you like it, you will get a 2nd entry. And then a randomizer will pick a name and then we will give away those 2 copies. So if you would like to enter, head over to Twitter, retweet this, like it, share with your friends, and good luck to you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes. These books are selling like hotcakes, hot off the presses. You're going to want to get your hands on 1.
Or 2.
Or 2. Or 3.
Keep 1, give 1 to a friend.
There you go. Makes a great gift. Seth, if you would, tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at @skubersky or at the UG series and on the web at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this if you're here for the live show. We're waving at you. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, and have fun. And stay tuned for more conspiracy theories about WandaVision, because I'm sure we'll have them.
Bye.